Matthew chapter 13. We're emphasizing this month the importance of just bringing them in. I want to go to the parable of the sower tonight and do a little Bible study on this and hopefully encourage you. I kind of designed this Bible study. I hope to be an encouragement. I think oftentimes if we're not careful, and I'll address this in a minute, that we are tempted to quit sowing seed because of several reasons we'll go over. But I want you to read with me Matthew chapter number 13. Stay with me. And we'll begin in verse number 3. Not only does this chapter contain the parable of the sower, but also Jesus gives an interpretation of the parable of the sower. So if you'll stand with me, Matthew chapter number 13 and verse number 3. And really with this main thought in mind tonight, and that's this: let's just keep sowing the seed. Let's just keep sowing the seed. And it's worth it. It'll be worth it all when Jesus comes. We'll be glad we did. Don't quit sowing the seed. Matthew chapter 13, verse 3, and he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell among stony places, where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But other fell into good ground, and brought forth fruit, some an hundredfold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear? Let him hear. And if you'll jump over verse 18, we'll read the interpretation of the parable. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When any one heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. That is he which receives seed by the wayside. When he that received the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word and anon with joy receiveth it, yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. And he also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. But he that receiveth seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some an hundredfold, some 60, and some 30. Heavenly Father, help us, Lord, tonight to just be encouraged by the teaching of the Bible. Thank you for the wonderful promise that the word of God, Lord, as it is sown, you've given us a promise it will not return back void, but it'll accomplish that which you intended. And so, Lord, may we be busy sowing the seed, the word of God, every opportunity, every place, every person, every heart. Lord, I pray that you'd help encourage Sunday school teachers, encourage those that preach in nursing homes, encourage those that are passing out gospel tracts, encourage bus workers as they're visiting. And Lord, even as we're working towards bringing visitors for our big day, dear God, inviting extra this month, I pray, Lord, that we'd be encouraged, that it will be worth it. Worth it all. It is worth it all. And keep us after it, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. I've been preaching the Bible for a long time now. The first time I preached to a congregation, I preached behind this pulpit. I had been called to preach in August of 1979. I went off to Bible college the end of that month. I came back for Thanksgiving. And Dad had me preach the Wednesday before Thanksgiving, and first time I'd ever preached to a congregation of people from a pulpit in an actual church auditorium. And I'd preached in other places a few times in between those two times, but first time I preached in church was November of 1979. Now that's 33 plus years ago, folks. That's getting to be just a little bit of time. And I've spent a large part of my life now sowing seed. That's what I view preaching as, standing up here sowing the seed of the Word of God. I've done it a long time. Started when I was preached my first sermon when I was just a few months into being 18 years of age. And here now, these many years ago, by God's grace and with His help, I still have the privilege, and I mean that. I view it as such. I appreciate every opportunity I have. I thank God that He's called me to do this and that I get to do this. But I've sown a lot of seeds. I've preached a lot of Bible. And I was thinking this morning, or and most of the day, most of this week since Sunday, and I had an opportunity to talk to another pastor, and he happened to call about something else, and he made the mistake of saying, "How'd your Sunday go?" And I think I took about 5 minutes of his life right after that, but to share the blessings of the Lord. And I'll be honest with you, to this day, it is amazing to me the power of the Word of God and the power of the gospel. You know, you think that you have adult people and teenagers and children come to this church. And I guess I'm especially astounded in this day and age that adult people can still walk into church as a visitor. And, you know, just with no really intention of coming to do anything except sit and ponder and look and see what this was about. And over the course of a 35, 40-minute message, God can use the Word of God to do a work of grace in their heart. And something that I think just astounds me as a preacher is the fact that standing up here preaching, you literally watch the process from the beginning of a sermon to the end of a sermon, and you can usually visually see the impact of the Word of God in that process of time. Now, folks, listen to me. I'm no silver-tongued orator. There's no way in the world I have the ability to stand up and mesmerize people or hypnotize people or in some ways use, you know, the King's English to cause that type of a miraculous change in the direction of their life. And it's a wonderful thing to just see the power of the Word of God. Now, I want to encourage you, because I'm not just talking about preachers tonight. I'm talking about every one of us have an opportunity to be sowers. Every single one of us need to learn to once again trust the Bible and its life-changing power. The Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And well, I'll argue this with this person. No, just quote scripture to them. Just share the Word of God with them. Just give them a Bible verse. Because the Bible is powerful. God's Word is powerful. It will pierce. It will divide. It'll do spiritual surgery on the coldest heart and the blackest heart. And to watch the process of, for instance, just what happened last Sunday morning, to begin to watch people at some point become spiritually engaged with the message, and to begin to see them, you can literally watch them contemplating, sometimes spiritually wrestling with and sometimes wrestling against what the Word of God is trying to do in their life. It's just an amazing thing to watch. Sometimes I wish the entire church had the same visual viewpoint as I do as I've preached. Sometimes that's very exciting. Be honest with you, sometimes it's very heartbreaking. Because, you know what, I do believe, I'm not a Calvinist, I believe we have a free will. I believe in whosoever will. I believe that people choose. This whole idea that God died for some people, didn't die for others, that God chooses to save some and chooses to withhold saving grace from others. I think it's one of the most damnable, devilish doctrines that's being taught today. But the Word of God does do a work in men's heart, and it challenges men. And then you take the Word of God, and then you involve the Holy Spirit of God, and then His work in a person's life, and the ability to come upon that person, convict them of sin, and convince them of the truth that they're hearing. And then God, Jesus talks about the wooing of the Father. You know, the no man cometh to me unless the Father draw him. The drawing or the wooing of the Father. I mean, listen, young people, and some of you may understand this, may not, and us adults need to be reminded of this. There's something supernatural going on during a preaching sermon. Sometimes folks don't understand why a preacher every once in a while stop and bark at somebody, but we all need to be reminded every once in a while what's going on. Okay, and that there is a spiritual battle going on during the preaching of the Bible, and I mean, we're it's time, souls are in the balance, folks. Hey, it's time to pray. Okay, I don't know what y'all come to church for, but it's time to pray. You say, oh, I listened last Sunday morning and I figured out real quickly you're going to preach on salvation and John chapter 3 and you must be born again, and I've heard that 50 times and that's really not for me, so I'll just count the lights. Or listen, folks, it's time to have the spiritual maturity to understand that you need to be involved in what's going on in the service. By the way, you shouldn't be bored with that old story. Tell me the old story. For those who know it best seem hungering and thirsting to hear it like the rest. And so you shouldn't be bored by it. You shouldn't just check it off. But listen, even if you're already saved and you know where the message is going, it is timed to lift your heart up to God and partner with your pastor and pray with your pastor and begin to ask God to convict lost sinners. And you know what? That'll keep you interested in a salvation message. And many of you, no doubt, were doing that last Sunday morning, and you experienced the same excitement that I did. Listen, I don't think it's just me up here by myself when I'm preaching to sinners about salvation. I think it ought to be the entire church joined together of one heart, praying together, asking God to empower His Word, and ourselves to be sensitive to the Spirit of God, to make sure that there's nothing that we're doing, no attitude that we have that would be quenching the Spirit or the activity of God in that service. It's a big deal. But then to watch the drawing of a message and then the giving of the invitation and the convicting power of God. Now think about this. In this day and age, to have adult people that will step out in front of a couple hundred people and walk forward in front of, and kneel down and look at an open Bible and pray and listen and pray and make a decision. Folks, listen to me. I'm just convinced of something. We don't need to discover something new. We need to get back to what this Bible is teaching us, and the power of the preaching of the Word of God and the power of the gospel. And we need to just trust it. Just trust the Word of God to do its work. But like I said, it's not just me coming up here to the pulpit several times a week. That's not the only time the Word of God is sown. I was thinking last Sunday morning when I was teaching Sunday school that scattered all over this building is people that are sowing the seed. Sowers are sowing the seed. Sunday school teachers have prayed over their lesson and studied it and prepared it and then tried to ask God to give them wisdom to take that lesson and put it down into the understanding of the hearts of the age group that they teach. And there's a powerful thing going on all over this church campus during the Sunday school hour. The Word of God is being preached. Sunday school teachers, I don't mind if you spend some time getting to know the kids and take a prayer request or two or you know, talk about what's happening next week. And I think those are good things. But remember, the primary purpose that you're there is to teach the Word of God. And so make sure that the bulk and the majority of your time is spent just sowing the seed. Trust the Bible. Every once in a while, I'll pray before we dismiss a Sunday school, and I'll say, Lord, you know, eternity will have to measure the impact of faithful Sunday school teachers who have studied and faithfully stood and faithfully preached and taught the Bible and the impact of the Word of God on our young people as week after week, line upon line, precept upon precept, they grow up under the teaching and preaching of the Bible. I mean, it'll take eternity to measure that. And so don't stop sowing. It's a privilege. I mean this. It's a privilege to stand and teach the Bible. It's a privilege to preach the Bible. As a Sunday school teacher, that you ought to take that very seriously. I mean that. You know, listen, if you have the opportunity here to teach the Bible, you need to understand, according to James chapter 3, you're going to stand in special judgment. And there's special expectations from God concerning those that are entrusted with the Word of God. We have, during our preaching service here, while I'm preaching, Brother Chad Gordon is out preaching to the juniors. Mrs. Walton is down preaching, teaching the Word of God. She might preach a little, I don't know. I've never been down there, but teaching the Word of God to those precious young hearts and allowing that seed to get into their soul. And we have nursing home services almost every weekend, sometimes multiple ones going on. And people in this church go to a nursing home and open the Word of God. And they, you know what they do? What are they doing? They're sowing the seed, just sowing the seed. And you know what I think? One of the things we've just got to recommit ourselves to and rededicate ourselves to is the sowing of the seed of the Word of God. We have chapel every Wednesday, and we have a preacher come in and preach to our Christian school kids. What are they doing? They're sowing the seed. They're just sowing the seed. And so stay dedicated to that and to realize the importance of it. Bus captains get on their bus off time on the way home and maybe just share a Bible verse and challenge the young people or help them to memorize a Bible verse. They're sowing the seed. They're just sowing the seed. Christians come out and they grab these gospel tracts. And I'm glad that we're in a church where if I don't keep up on it on a regular basis, that track rack looks, everything disappears out of it. I thank God that almost weekly, almost weekly, I'm having to restock our tracks in our, listen, what are you doing? Sowing the seed. That's what we're doing. We're sowing the seed. Young people went out this afternoon and went on visitation. What were they doing? Sowing the seed. On Saturday, our regional visitation opportunities. Why bother? Because we've got to sow the seed. That's why. Because we've got to get the seed sown. And now there's not going to be a harvest if there's no sowing. There's not going to be the Word of God impacting lives if we're not sowing. And I want to encourage you, because I understand sometimes we don't always get to see the results right away. And sometimes it is discouraging, to be honest with you. Sometimes you're tempted to quit. Sometimes you've sown and sown and sown, and you don't seem like you're having much of an impact. But I promise you, God has promised that His Word will not come back void. I look back in my time, you know, if you got 33 years of preaching, let me guarantee you one thing. There's been times where you're tempted to quit sowing the seed. And talk to Brother Jeremiah about that. He got a little frustrated in the ministry, and he got called in chapter number 1, call of Jeremiah. And then you see the congregation of Jeremiah in chapter 5, and their faces were hard as rocks. The confusion of Jeremiah in chapter 20, where he basically kind of comes up to God and says, "You deceived me. You tricked me here. You called me to preach. I thought I was going to be a prophet of the nation. I thought I was going to see some great revival. And guess what? Nobody cares and nobody wants to listen." And the only response I've got so far is we did have some folks come forward, and I got excited until I realized they were going to throw me in a miry pit and didn't come forward to get saved, just to grab the preacher and throw him in a well somewhere. And then you see, though, in chapter 20, even amongst his confusion, when he's tempted to quit, he said, "You know what, I determined, I will speak no more in his name." But he said, "But thy word was as a fire that burned in my soul, and I could not stay." And folks, listen to me. Everybody goes through it. If you're involved in ministry of any kind, whether it's a lay person, a Sunday school teacher, I don't care what you're doing, you know what, it gets discouraging sometimes. Sometimes the amount of work involved in sowing, it seems to yield no fruit. And we see this, by the way, in this portion of Scripture here, the amount of personal disappointment that comes along with sowing because of the different reactions. Sometimes you can see almost immediately that the Word of God, and this is that which falls by the wayside, had little or no effect. At least visually it did, because of the hardness of a person's heart. They just simply would not receive it, would not listen to it. And because of that, it seems like, well, see, preacher, come on, I'm trying to go out here and do this, but I'm just wasting my time. Nobody wants to hear. I think we might live in the days of Jeremiah. Nobody wants to hear. Every once in a while, you'll have some that fall on stony ground, and it seems like that they are willing to hear it, and they even seem to be joyful about receiving it, at least for a short time. And then verse 21, but yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. And this no root in himself, back if you will, in verse number 6, and when the sun was up, they were scorched because they had no root. I believe that's talking about depth of character. The stony ground, listen, parents, I believe our job as parents is to pick the stones out of the ground, is to remove the stones from the heart of our young people. We live in a characterless generation. What's the difference, preacher, between 1966 when your dad got saved, and I mean after he got saved, what's the difference between him getting saved and then immediately going into church 3 times a week and giving up some things and growing and beginning to read his Bible and taking off? I'm going to tell you what the difference is between now and then. Character, that's the difference. It is. It's character. I say this, you know, when used to be when someone got saved, you'd start them at zero and take off. You don't start at zero now. Sometimes you start at a negative 237. People come in with so much baggage and so little training and so little character, and they've quit everything they've ever done in life. And anytime anything's ever gotten hard, they've just been allowed to not have to finish it. Are you listening, parents? Are you listening? Listen, you've got to raise your young people with some character, some tenacity. And back in a generation ago, we weren't allowed to quit. We didn't think about quitting. If we did, we got talked out of it real quick. And I'm going to tell you a story. And then you can, you know, ask me the guy's name later and call 911, I guess. But, I mean, I remember getting signed up with the local farmer when I lived there. We just lived where the Liffics lived down. A local farmer needed some boys to put up hay, and I went over and helped. Some other couple boys in the neighborhood went over to help. And one of the guys, it was a hot day, and we were out there, and one of the boys kept complaining about how hot it was, talking about how tired he was, and he finally just looked at me and said, farmer was on the tractor, and we were throwing hay up, and he said, hey, tell him I'm going home. I can't do this. And And so, you know, he just took off walking across the field. Well, the farmer looked over and saw him walking across the field and stopped the tractor. He ran over there and got him. He dragged him by the lapel and dragged him back into the thing. Said, "Where are you going?" "Well, I'm just tired and I'm hot." "Well, too bad. You told me you'd work and you're going to work. I got to get this up before the rain comes. Now you stand right there. You stay right here and you do the best you can, but you're not quitting. You understand me, son? You're not going home. You got a job to do. You told me you'd do it. Now you're going to stay here. You got that?" "Yes, sir. Yes, sir." And I was tired and hot too. And I decided right then, I think I'll finish the day. You know, I think, listen, what happened? I'm so tired of, come on. Okay. "Well, I don't like this kind of preaching." "Well, go somewhere else then. Because this is what we're doing here. Okay. We've got to rescue a generation of people that are raising kids that, you know, when the tough get going, you just open your hands and quit. Okay. And they never finish anything. And because we're dealing with that type of a generation, for not everybody, thank God there's exceptions right here in this room, but because we're dealing with a generation that's been raised with that mentality of the Word of God, yeah, they'll receive it with joy, but as soon as the sun gets a little hot and scorches down on them, they don't have any root in themselves and they don't endure. And I'll be honest with you, that's discouraging. As a preacher, you sow seed and you see, sometimes it looks like, boy, there's a young couple and they got it, or somebody's started to grow, and then, you know what, all of a sudden it starts costing them something. And then they just, you know, fold their tent and move on down. They quit. And sometimes in those moments of discouragement, you're kind of like, is this worth it? And we see also the thorns that's mentioned. And boy, we need to, I'm not going to preach this entire thing, but look at verse 22. "He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful." And I think it's Luke that talks about the pleasures of this world. And you know what? Again, folks receive it, seem to get it, get excited about it, and then because of the pull of this world and their unwillingness to turn their back on the world and their addiction, as I preached last Sunday night, to pleasure, pretty soon they become unfruitful. Well, I'm giving you a lot of reasons why, if you're not careful, you can just say, "Well, preacher, I know, we just don't see enough result. It's just not worth it. The amount of work involved that seems to yield no fruit, the amount of personal disappointment that comes with sowing when you think somebody's finally getting it and all of a sudden they fall away. The amount of demonic attacks that comes with the decision to sow. Are you getting this? I mean, that's just part of it. If you're going to be a sower of the seed, put your armor on. Better get your shield of faith, because here comes the fiery darts of the wicked one. I mean, the devil hates the Word of God, and anybody decides they're going to sow the Word of God on a regular basis is going to endure demonic attacks. They that live righteous shall suffer persecution. And so it comes with it. You say, "Preacher, if we just got out of the sowing business, we wouldn't have to do as much work. If we got out of the sowing business, we wouldn't have to suffer disappointments. If we got out of the sowing business, we wouldn't have to be under constant demonic attack." I know, but here's the problem. Nobody's going to get saved without the Word of God. No. "Well, preacher, give me a reason." Okay, let's look at this. Verse number 8, "But other fell." But other. You got to underline those two words. But other fell into good ground. So we got the sum and the sum and the sum. Okay, you can underline that three times. The sum and the sum and the sum, and I get that. A lot of what we preach, and preacher 33 years of preaching and sowing, yeah, a lot of it's fallen on ground that just didn't amount to anything, didn't matter. It didn't seem to matter to them, or they didn't stick with it. I get it. But you know what? But other. So you're going to have the sum, and you're going to have the sum, and you're going to have the sum, but other. But other fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. And then we see the interpretation, verse number 23. But he that received seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. And, you know, Jesse McCammon texted me, as I told you last Sunday, and shared that with you. And guess what? Not everything that we sow around here comes to naught. And John says, there's Ross 96 on his bus, and starts telling me about the different ones that are getting saved. And you know what? Not everything we sowed around here comes to naught. Now what I'm saying is this. It's kind of an encouragement sermon. Listen, church, don't stop sowing. Well, preacher, sometimes I'm not sure if it's worth it. So, well, come join me because I can sit right down in the ashes with you, me, you, and Job, because there's times I don't know if it's worth it or not. But you know what? After I have my little pity party for a while, I get back up, brush myself off, reload the seed bag and said, let's just fling some more seed. Let's just throw some more seed out there. You see? I mean, we can't stop. We can't stop. Say, preacher, why? Well, number one, because of the command of the master. Okay, it's Jesus that commanded us. He said to them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And so we have a command from Jesus Christ. He's told us, listen, don't stop sowing. I know sometimes it's not going to seem like it matters, and you're going to get disappointed, and you're going to think somebody got it, and then they didn't seem to get it, and you thought somebody was on board, and then they fall off the board, and after a while, it's easy to, and then it seems like the devil's giving, all right, I got that, but he said, listen, the only way that they're going to hear about the death, burial, and resurrection is if y'all tell it. See, Jesus did what was needed to be done so that we could have a gospel, but then he ascended up into heaven. Waved goodbye. Okay, it's in your hands. Okay, go tarry in Jerusalem till you be filled with the power from on high. Get filled with the Holy Spirit. And then here's the plan. This is the only plan he left us with. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Go sow seed. Just go sow seed. Preacher, where do I sow? You sow in every mission field that you're a part of. I've said this enough, you probably could say it with me, but everybody's got mission fields. Everybody's got, you're going to meet people this week that I won't meet. I'll meet people you won't meet. You run in circles. You work places I don't work. You have influence I don't have. Your family is a mission field. Sow the word of God to your family. Well, I've witnessed Uncle George 500 times and he don't care. He's hard-hearted. Well, I got an idea. Just do it 501 and then do it 502 and then do it 50. Just go ahead and send him another track. And just go ahead and put it in. Well, he throws them away and then he cusses me later. Well, good night. Every Christian needs a good cussing every once in a while. Come on now. I mean, it builds backbone. It builds character. Amen. If you haven't been, hey, listen, I mean it. Come on. If you haven't been cussed in a while, you aren't doing much for the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, if I haven't been cussed for a while, I go out and just try to irritate somebody, just make sure I'm still where I'm supposed to be. But we've got a command. Oh, it didn't hurt us. Come on. It didn't hurt us. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words may never harm me. Proverbs something. Come on now. I mean, we face a little bit of resistance, and next thing you know, oh, well, it's just too hard. No, come on, stop. No, we get the opportunity to sow the seed, and Christ commanded us to do it. And so we do it because Christ commanded. We do it because of the power of the seed. In Mark chapter 4, verse number 14, we read this little interpretation. One, this is all the verse there is. Here it is. The sower soweth the word. The sower soweth the word. So you don't stop sowing because you've been commanded to sow. You don't stop sowing because of the power of the seed. And you know what? I'm convinced of this. This book is a powerful book. These words are divine words. I mean, you think about it. It's a mystery. You know, somebody could get up and give a lecture in a classroom and use a different type of book. And that man could have great oratory skills and be very persuasive. But he would not see at the end of that lecture something divine happen where the very soul of a man is brought into, is arrested by God. There's something about this book. This book. Most of you don't know this, but my dad, very verily eked out a high school education and took a few courses in night school and Bible college and often talked to me about that. You don't understand how thrilled my dad was when I got to go to Bible college. And he told me, he said, Jerry, you're going to get an opportunity to do something that I wish I'd had an opportunity to do. It wasn't God's will for me. That wasn't God's path for me. But my dad would, a lot of times, because of just who he was and the way God had him, it would sometimes take my dad 6, 8, 10 hours to put together one sermon. Now you think about that, a man preaching 4 times a week. And he'd tell me sometimes, he said, I'm just absolutely amazed at how quickly you put sermons together and how you know what? You say, why did he do it? He did it because the sower sows the seed. He did it because he had the call of God on him. And I've seen God use sometimes the simplest of men. You know, let's not get infatuated with education. God just took old John the Baptist and drug him out the backside of the desert and communed with him, and you know what? He had a pretty good ministry. I don't think he went to seminary. He did okay, you know. Okay, are you listening? Elijah, I think he did okay. And Elisha, you know, he's out just farming, and Elijah comes by and throws a mantle on him and says, come on. And he served Elijah for 15 years. Might be the best way to get an education, is just find somebody that is a man of God and serve under him, and just learn from him and be there to serve him until the mantle falls. That's a pretty good way to get the power of God on you. And just doing it. I've watched guys that have PhDs preach and God use it. And I've watched guys that had a PhD, but it stands for posthole digger, because that's all the education they had, and God still blessed it. The man that preached and my family was saved under was Elmer Evans, and he was a hog farmer, and they needed a preacher. And so on Sundays, he'd put a suit on and go down to Rock Run Baptist Church and open a black covered copy of the King James Bible, and he used to preach. He'd look at the clock, and he'd preach to that clock, and he'd just look at the clock. He wouldn't even look at the people, just look at the clock and just preach to the clock. And I thought to myself, I don't know how that clock doesn't get saved. I have no idea. But I got saved, and my daddy got saved, and my mama got saved. And are you getting what I'm saying is this? Preacher, I don't know a whole lot. You got the Bible? Can you memorize a few verses? Can you memorize the Romans Road? Well, preacher, I didn't get any formal education. Well, do you have the Word of God? Are you putting your trust in your education, or are you putting your trust in this book? This is what's powerful right here. This is what God's going to use right here. Just preach the Bible. Just teach the Bible. Just share what you know of the Bible. But I believe it's powerful. I want to keep sowing because I want to keep giving out tracts. You know why? Because there's Bible verses on those tracts. That's why. Word of God is there. I spent today getting caught back up. Poor Brother Klein, I keep him so under the gun. But I'm real good about getting ahead on my radio broadcast, and then I get real comfortable because I'm ahead. And then I look up, and guess what? I'm not ahead anymore. So I did, I think, two weeks yesterday and a week today, and I'm trying to get back ahead a little bit. And you say, well, why would you take the time to do it? I just do five-minute broadcast. And that's all it is, just 5 minutes. Why do you do it? Because the sower sows the seed. It's just another way to get the seed out. And again, it's just a chance to open the Word of God and say it and connect with some people that probably and may not ever walk in this door, but the sower sows the seed. And what do you do? Why do you do that? Because I think this, but it's just 5 minutes. Yeah, but the Word of God is powerful. It can be a verse. It can be a phrase from a verse. It can be part of a verse. It can be a Bible story that targets the heart of a man and a woman or a child. Maybe they're sitting in the back seat and they don't even think little Junior's paying attention, but a voice comes on the radio, and next thing you know, the Word of God is touching a life and touching a heart. We just keep sowing. That's what we do. We sow. Why? Because of the power of the seed. I believe the Word of God still changes lives. I just believe it. I believe if you'll park yourself under the Bible with the right spirit and the right heart, you've heard me preach the message here, you can bring a rock or you can bring a candle, folks. If you bring a candle, the fire will fall and your heart will leave warmed and you'll be stirred and you'll shine bright. If you bring a rock, then it's going to matter. The Word of God is going to become like a hammer. And you know what? I can't control all of that. I'm just supposed to sow. I know that some's going to fall on hard ground, but I'm going to sow. I know some's going to fall on stony ground, but I'm going to sow. I know some's going to fall amongst the thorns, but I'm just going to keep sowing. You know why? Because but other fell on good ground. So you don't stop. The command of the master, the power of the seed, the eternal life gained by the recipients. The eternal life gained by the recipients. John 1:11, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. You're going to sow a lot of seed, and some of it's not going to seem like it made much difference or mattered. But thank God you're always going to find from time to time that person who God just lights up their heart with the Bible, and they're tender, and their heart's been prepared by the Holy Spirit, and they receive the Word of God unto eternal life. Exciting, exciting, exciting. That's why I like soul winning. You know what? God may never call you to be a preacher, evangelist, missionary, and you know what? That doesn't make you a second-class Christian. I want to say that every once in a while and say it loud and strong. I don't just say that. I believe it 100% with all of my heart. You know, God doesn't create or call people to everybody to do that. But you know what? You may not spend your life doing that, but you can spend your life being a soul winner. You can spend your life witnessing to people. You can spend your life sharing the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ one door at a time. How in the world are we going to achieve what God's asked us to do? Preach the gospel to every creature. I don't know. I can't think of how in the world you could do it except for door-to-door visitation, door-to-door soul winning. You got to take it to them. That's why the Bible says, go ye into all the world. You got to go. You got to go preach to them. Preach, yeah, preach. Proclaim the gospel to every creature. You go door-to-door. Glad we have a radio program, but of the almost 55,000 people that could be listening to that radio, that it could reach in this area, not all of them is going to tune in. And we preach the word of God here, and not all of them is going to come inside the house and sit down and listen to it. That's why we have to take the gospel. The only way to achieve gospel saturation is to carry the gospel to every place. Now, it's not just a method. I believe it's a divine method. It's found in the book of Acts. They went from house to house. They ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. The word of God needs to be carried to every single person's door. Now, you can be a part of that. You can be a part of that. You can be in junior high and be a part of that. You can be in high school and be a part of that. You can be a lady and be a part of that. You can be a young mother and be a part of that. You can be a layman and be a part of that. And you know what's going to happen? If you can faithfully sow seed, some people are going to receive Jesus Christ as their Savior. Jonathan Reiser was talking to me the other day, and I talked a minute ago about sometimes you are visiting and you're not treated well, and somebody becomes caustic and mean with you, and that happens. I'll be honest with you, it don't happen a ton in this area. It really doesn't. But every once in a while, somebody gets a little sideways with you, decide, you know, they're going to straighten you out or whatever. And Brother Reiser was telling me the other day about him experiencing something like that on visitation. And he said, you know what, every time that happens, he said, I remember the words of my grandpa, Brother Bo, used to tell me, if you have two or three people that really start giving you a hard time and really start kind of cussing at you and carrying on and doing whatever and trying to discourage you, he said, man, don't quit then, because the devil's trying to discourage you because somebody on that street's probably waiting to get saved. And so that's the mentality you've got to take, is that there are people out there. I believe in divine appointments. I don't just say it, I believe in it. I believe that God directs a soul winner with the gospel to the people. If you're tender-hearted, he'll direct you to it. It may be on door-to-door visitation. It may be in the workplace. It may be in your own family. It may be in your neighborhood. It may be amongst the acquaintances and friends that you have, or the people that you're going to meet on any given day. But God is going to give you an opportunity here and there. Sow the seed. Eternal life is gained by the recipients. It's the word of God that brings people under conviction of sins. The word of God that teaches them the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's the word of God. It's necessary in the salvation of a soul. So just don't stop sowing, church. Don't stop sowing. Let me give you the last reason. The command of the master, the power of the seed, the eternal life gained by the recipients. Why should you never stop sowing? Number four, the productivity of the few. The productivity of the few. Now, what do you mean by that? Again, verse number 23, but he that receives seed unto good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit. So here you are, you're sowing, and somebody not only receives it, but they spring up and they themselves begin to bear fruit on their own. That's one of the most exciting things about being in the ministry. Brother Castle was talking to me about how long I'd been here at the church, and I said, you know, in 2014, I'll have been at Blessed Hope Baptist Church for 20 years as a assistant pastor for the first 11 years, and then pastor since then. And I was talking about that. He said that's got to be neat. And I said, you know, it is, because I said, you know, when I showed up here and I began to work with the teens and work in our Christian school, most of those kids, a lot of those kids, all those kids of that age group that's still here, I mean, they're young adults now. They're raising kids of their own now. There's something exciting about that. Watch this. I'm sowing seed, hoping it'll bring forth fruit, and now I watch them sow seed, and they're bringing forth fruit. You know what? That's the hope for America. That's how the church survives. That's why the devil fights so hard against young people, to try to keep you, to talk you and convince you into breaking the cycle. Okay? I mean, somebody sowed seed in your heart, and it sprang forth into eternal life. And you know what? Now you have an obligation. Can I use this word? A duty to sow seed so that other people can have an opportunity also. And so don't break the cycle. Say, we don't reach but a few. Yeah, but those few can sure produce a lot. Notice what it says here. They bringeth forth fruit, which also beareth fruit, and bringeth forth some an hundredfold, some 60, some 30, different amounts. But you know what? Just think about that. So that one little seed and what it bears, that one little seed and what it produces, that one soul-winning opportunity, that one Saturday when you really didn't feel like it, okay? And that Sunday morning when I'm sick and sometimes I walk to the pulpit and I'm holding on saying, God, give me the strength to get through this message. Or sometimes when you're, as a Sunday school teacher, something's happened in your personal life this week. And you know what? Honestly, the last thing you want to do is walk in that class and teach a Sunday school lesson. Your mind's in turmoil. Your heart's in turmoil. You've got maybe something's happened. Your life's been turned upside down. But you know what you do? You say, I got to sow the seed. I've got to do it. And so you just keep doing it. Why? Because you just never know. You just never know when that seed will find good ground. Before I was hired here as youth pastor, I came, before I was here, when I was a pastor in Central Baptist Church, I came here and preached a youth revival, and Blessed Oak Baptist Church organized it, and Jack and Penny oversaw it, and Dad had his hand on it, and the teens worked hard, and they filled this auditorium up with teenagers, and all I had to do, man, that's before I got hired, that's all I had to do was show up and preach. Man, we should have kept that arrangement somehow, you know. And later on, I was doing all the work, but I just, the first time, I just showed up and preached, And now there's a young man out of that meeting. There's a young man. I can tell you the message I preached. I preached a message entitled Heaven's Libraries. Heaven's Library, and talked about the books that were in heaven, and finally ended up with the Book of Life. And that was the sermon that after it was preached, a young man by the name of Paul Chapman went and got his bus captain and said, I'm not saved. I'm on my way to hell. And to receive Jesus Christ as his Savior. You say, well, it's just a youth. It's just a youth conference, just a youth rally, preacher, just a bunch of public school kids. Does it matter? Well, I think it does. I think it does. That's why the preaching of the Word of God to me is very important. And I've given my life to it. I mean it. I've given my life to it. I do it here. I do it sometimes yonder. I'll preach sometimes in a week times. Sometimes in a week's, in 1 week, I'll preach, you know, a dozen times. And you know what? I thrill at every opportunity to do it. Thank God. You know why? Because I want to sow some seed. I just want to sow. I just want to keep giving the Word of God out, because it can find its place in the heart of people, and you just never know who's going to be that one that grabs it. Who's going to be that one that gets it? Bus workers, don't get discouraged. I know sometimes you, brother Jeff, I showed up. You know we had a good Sunday, right? So you know what's going to happen Monday, don't you? Okay, we don't always share this part of the ministry with you, but trust me, there's not only just blessings, there's blessings. And I get to the church, and my wife's listening to the messages, and she comes with a piece of paper. Some bus dad is upset about something. You got to call him. And so I call him and talk to him, and he wants to know about this that happened on the bus. So I said, well, let me find out. I wasn't on that bus, and I called Brother Jeff, and come to find out a couple of his workers were smoking pot on the bus. I don't know why that was. I don't know what's going on in that bus. But we got to get a hold of that, Brother Jeff. Come on. I mean, cigarettes is one thing, but pot, we're not putting up with them. No, it didn't have anything to do with his workers. A couple of guys on the bus that were riders almost got in a fight on the bus. I mean, big guys gotten in the fight, and one of them was a cussing and carrying on. One of them got off the bus and cussed out Jeff as he's walking away from the bus. And praise Jesus. Amen. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. And here's a bus dad concerned about it, and I'm talking to him, and Brother Jeff's going to go by and see him. And by the way, he was great. The bus dad was great. And I explained to him, I said, called him back, and this is what happened. This is the way Brother Jeff's taking care of it. We won't allow that on the bus, and we won't put up with that kind of nonsense, and we won't expose your children to that. We can't, you know, foresee everything that could happen, but we react properly to it and dealt with all of that. But I mean, you know, you had those Sundays where it just seems like, man, alive. Everything we did, it seemed like the devil won. Well, I'm going to tell you something. The devil is not more powerful than this bull. And as long as we're sowing the seed, you know what? He's in trouble. That's why he fights a Bible preaching church. That's why he fights it. That's why he fights those of you that are involved in the ministry of sowing seed. He's going to fight you on it. He's going to try to discourage you. And he's going to try to get you sidetracked. And he's going to bring things into your life that sometimes makes you think, you know what, I don't even know if this is worth it. But folks, listen to me. Let's not stop sowing. Let's trust the Bible, the power of the Word of God. Let's obey the command of our Master. Let's trust that the seed will bring forth, burst forth into eternal life in the hearts of some people. And let's not forget that every once in a while, God just gives us somebody that goes out and is productive, and maybe somebody that you reach will end up in their lifetime reaching more people than you could have reached. That's pretty exciting. That's a pretty neat deal. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this simple Bible study, Lord, as we took a look at the seeds. And I could see from this parable, this sower, if he's not careful, he could get a little discouraged, because there's sure a lot of effort and a lot of work that seems wasted, and a lot of excitement that doesn't pan out. And some folks, he thought that got it, and then they fell away. And there's a discouragement factor with just being a sower. But Lord, thank you for the but other. May we not forget that little phrase, but other. And Lord, as discouraging as it can sometimes get, thank God that you remind us like you did last Sunday morning. Blessed Hope Baptist Church, dear God, that the Word of God still does its work in the hearts of people's lives. And then, Lord, Brother Chad telling me out in Children's Church, seven young people received Jesus Christ as their Savior. And Lord, it's just the power of the Word of God. Power of the Word of God. And sometimes the young people go out and they knock doors, and maybe they do it for a month and it seems like nobody got saved and there's no fruit. And then you have a Sunday like we've had the last couple of Sundays, where we've had four or five different adult visitors just from visitation, just from teenagers out there passing tracks. And be able to stand, talk to adult men in the foyer in the parking lot that said, well, some of your teens came by and invited me to church, so I thought I'd come. And Lord, it does work. We just got to stay at it. It works. I was thinking of Brother Abel telling me about the two ladies that visited last Sunday from Clay City, and how he almost passed the house and saw a young teenage girl on the porch smoking a cigarette, and the Holy Spirit just convicted him, and finally he walked over and said, young lady, let me invite you to church. And she jumps up and says, my mom's been talking about looking for a church. Let me go get my mom. And a teenage girl and a teenage young man and a mother and a grandmother sitting in the service of Blessed Hope Baptist Church just because somebody's out there sowing the seed. Lord, I pray that you encourage us. I never know where everybody's at. And I know, Lord, life can be so discouraging sometimes. And the devil gets on us and sits on our shoulder and talks us down and tries to convince us it's not worth it. And just think of all the work I wouldn't have to do. And just think of all the disappointments I wouldn't have to endure. And think of all the demonic attacks I wouldn't have to put up with. And Lord, I pray that we'd be like Jeremiah during those times when we're tempted to quit. And let the Word of God burn in our hearts like a fire. And Lord, may we just rise up and say, devil, get behind me. Resist the devil. He'll flee from you. Get behind me, Satan. I'm going to just keep sowing the seed. I pray that you'd bless this Bible study tonight in Jesus' name.